Yes, welcome to the Game Manx Podcast. This is the official game podcast of BrooklynKing.com. And this is episode 204. Today is April 22nd, 2013. And I'm your host, Brooklyn, coming to you live from Atlanta, USA, GA, all that good stuff, all those acronyms. And we have Scatino, a.k.a. Scat, coming to you live from Manchester, UK.
What up, what up, what up? Home of the champions.
What champions?
Home of the champions.
What champions do you refer to?
Manchester United, of course.
What'd they win?
Their 20th league title in spectacular fashion. So happy.
Oh, wow.
Slightly drunk, but you know.
Drunk Scat is funny Scat, so...
That's just how it goes.
That's your disclaimer.
Oh, shit.
Drunk off ginger ale. Drunk off power. So, yeah, man. We were talking about... I don't even know where to start, man. I've had a crazy weekend. I want to hear some crazy shit, so... Before we get into games and stuff, I guess we're gonna talk about Soul Sacrifice, that demo, Guacamelee, that crazy, it's getting real Mexican up in here, that crazy GTA 5 teaser trailer thing, promo they released just today, and Evil Within, so we can have stuff to talk about. But funny enough, like, so this weekend I had this meditation course, right? So I've been, you know, I've talked about that before, how I've been doing this meditation thing, and they have these levels, right? And there's like five levels, and I'm on level, I took the level three. So it's like you spend 3 days, they teach you a new technique, and they, you know, have these discussions on how it's beneficial and all this stuff, right? So the funny thing is that I've been working on the website, right? On BrooklynKing.com. And I've been, you know, my sleep has been erratic, and between that and all of this other stuff I've been going through, dealing with, I haven't been getting a lot of sleep, you know? So I went on Friday, and it was in the evening, and then Saturday I was like, oh man, like, I was falling asleep, right? So I'm sitting there, I'm supposed to be meditating, so you're in this big room, and, you know, we're all sitting, I guess, legs folded, and they teach you the technique, and then you have to, like, practice this technique for hours on end, right? I'm sitting there, and I'm falling asleep, dude. It's so crazy, right? It's embarrassing, right? Because you're in a room full of people, and you don't want to, like, you know, you don't want to... So I'm over here, nodding off, nodding forward, and then in like this woman who was in front of me was like, she said, I turned around for a second and I saw you sleeping and you looked so peaceful. And I was like, oh shit, because I thought, you know, it got to the point, I was so sleepy, I got to the point where I was like, you know what, if I stay perfectly still and close my eyes, no one's gonna know. Like, I could sit here, you know, straight back, and just close my eyes, and, you know, but the reality is that you slunch, you hunch over when you go to sleep. So I was like, oh shit. So then that was, you know, crazy. So I left. That was Saturday, and then Sunday. So, and then also, they open the doors, and it's this big open room, and it's like, you know, it's like outside of the doors there's this big grassy field, and I'm allergic to grass pollen, right? So I go home and I'm sneezing and shit from all the pollen, and then I wake up the next morning and I have to be there at 8:30. So I'm like, all right, I was like, you know what, I don't want to have to sneeze all day, so I'm gonna take some Benadryl. I'm gonna take these two little Benadryl caplets. It definitely will. I mean, if you take that, you know, that basically prevents you from having any allergy symptoms. Took the Benadryl, thought I was super fucking smart. Go there. I'm sitting down, and that was such a fail, dude, because Benadryl makes you drowsy as hell. So not only did I not get enough sleep, now I took Benadryl. And I'm and this time I can't even fight it. Like, it got to the point where literally I was in front of the teacher and I fell asleep. Fell asleep. And then, like, I guess like an hour later, I was literally tilting over to the side, almost falling out of my seat sleeping, to the point where one of the teachers came and said, took me aside and was like, "What's going on? Are you in pain?" Or like, because you're sitting so crooked. And I was like, "Nah, I just took this Benadryl," and I go through the whole explanation about how I have allergies and this room has all this pollen because you guys keep the door open. I mean, I know because it looks beautiful because it's like this room, right? And the room has these big windows. It's really high ceiling. It's all wood, hardwood floors. And they open up the doors because it just lets in the breeze and it's so peaceful. But in the middle of allergy season, like, it kills me, you know? So I was explaining that to him. I was like, I took Benadryl, and I didn't really think about the fact that it would make me super drowsy, and I'm paying the price, and I just, like, it was so horrible, dude. Like, I was just, like, so embarrassed. So after a while, like, so I stayed as long as I could, and then I left, like, 2 hours early. I was just like, dude, it makes no sense for me to sit here. I'm gonna fall asleep, like... I even went to my car. I was like, you know what? Maybe if I go to my car and sleep for 30 minutes, I could just, you know, get the sleepiness out of my system. And I did that. I did that and came back an hour later because I fell asleep. And I still was sleepy. It was just like, yeah, it was a wrap, dude. It was like the only thing that would have cured that drowsiness was like a good full night's sleep. So, yeah, that was my weekend, man. So, it was crazy. So, I think I'm rested. I'm still in chill mode, though. So, I'm just kind of, like, resting up. There's still a few more things to do on the website. And definitely wanted to say thanks to everybody who hit me with feedback. There's still a few things that will get worked on, you know, so, yeah, I don't even know where to start with that, like, basically, the layout's changed, improved, I'd like to think, right, and a few things there left to be added, and I'm waiting on some other stuff to get done first, but, I want to add comments under the titles on the homepage and a couple other things. Like the last comment, it'll show you a snippet of what that is, you know? But a lot of the improvement and feedback that I've gotten over the past year, it's been a year since the other layouts changed. I went ahead and kind of got on top of that and made those changes. But there's actually some changes that Shooter brought to my attention that I couldn't do because I didn't write the original code, so I got the guy who did it last year, and he's having some trouble with the comments, getting the comments to when you edit the comments. So once he's finished that, I can go back in and continue to make the other changes. So I think it looks awesome personally. I don't know, you know, whatever, what everybody else thinks, but I think it definitely solves the weird looking images that we had and stuff like that. And I've already started planning the phone version, so once hopefully this week we finish the main site, I'll start the mobile version. The current version works on tablets, so if you are on an iPad or something like that, the site works fine, but of course it doesn't look it's harder to read on an iPhone, for example. So I have the plans to address that and make a complete version for phones that works in phones, and you could do everything you could do on the site on phones, so that's coming next, but we have to finish up some of the last upgrades, the comment edits, and getting some comment, last comments on the homepage. I think once that's done, I think we'll be in a good place. So I don't know. I didn't intend to go as hard as I did, but once I got started, it was one of those things where it was kind of like, fuck it, right? Like, if you're going to do it, do it.
Yeah.
So, and I remember on the last podcast, I was kind of saying, yeah, I don't know when it's going to get done. And then I just kind of caught a wind of inspiration and like one night just said, fuck it, let's just see what we could do. No, I think it was a Saturday morning. It was like a Friday or a Saturday morning. I was like, you know what? Let me try something. And then like a day later, it was almost done. I was like, holy shit, you know? And then from there, I just kept doing it, working on it. So check it out. You know, if you listen to the podcast and you haven't been to the site, I know there's a lot of folks do that. Go to brooklynking.com, check it out. And all that good stuff. So, yeah, man, very excited about that stuff. And I don't know what else to say. Thanks to everybody who had feedback. I know Talon had hit me with some stuff, and Shooter and everybody else, yo, much appreciated, because a lot of that stuff I forget about, or not even forget, but we all see the site differently, and it's really good to hear what people are missing, like, you know, because that's like, oh shit, you know what, you're right, like, I'm too busy thinking about fixing this thing and I forget that thing. And but
I mean, I must admit, at this point, the only thing that I'm missing is the latest comments thing down the right side of the page.
Right. And that's exactly what Talon was saying yesterday, or whatever day we were playing Street Fighter. Like, the best things come out of Street Fighter. I'm serious, dude. Like, Talon and I were playing Street Fighter, and he was hitting me with that, and that's what he mentioned, too. Like, dude, like, what's up with the latest comments? But that is what I was just saying. I'm gonna that will be added, and it's gonna be hopefully a lot better, because instead of having just a list of comments and not knowing where it goes under each title, you know, you'll have the last comment, you know, so when it's new, you'll know, and you'll be able to click it and go to it. So like, if under Tomb Raider review on the homepage, under that, you'll see a snippet of what the last person said about it, you know, instead of just having a list, it'll be tied to what it is, what it goes with, the thread that it goes with, or the page that it goes with. So that should totally solve that, and it'll, you know, hopefully be more useful for everybody. So that was a great, like, yeah, that's a great point, Scott, definitely. And you know what was funny is that is so useful. And on the last design of the site, it was, like, in the corner, right?
Yeah.
It didn't even get the kind of love that it should have gotten, because it's, like, really what interests people, you know? Like, it's what you kind of want to know. Like, which of these has someone commented on? I mean, other than the fact that whenever you comment on something, it goes back to the top. So, you know that. If you see something at the top, someone's commented on it. But when soon you'll be able to see what that comment is under it before you even click on it. So that's definitely coming. So no doubt. Yeah. So I think that I'm really excited about the design and everything. So it's cool. I'm happy. Long overdue. Time flies, man. You know? So it's all gravy. And with E3 coming up, it's going to be so much shit to post.
Hell yeah, I'm so excited.
I know. I definitely wanted to have all this stuff done before that, you know. So, but if you do have additional feedback, there's a link at the bottom of every page that says send a message or contact, and just, you know, use the form. You can send it anonymous, whatever. Hit me up. And I'll look at it and see what's up. See if we can add it in. Or send me a private message on the site and all that stuff. So much appreciated to everybody. Appreciate the love, all that stuff. And, you know, all the, you know, everybody's making the site great. So, cool. I definitely wanted to talk about that a little bit before we got into all of the craziness and awesomeness. So, let's see. What else is going on in the world? I feel like I'm coming down with something. Like, I feel like I'm catching a cold, which sucks because I have like 2 interviews this week. So I'm like, of course I'm gonna like catch a cold when I got like interviews and shit starting to pop off. Like, yes, sweet, gotta love it. But what were we doing? Let's listen to this though, because I think this is kind of funny. So today, Rockstar released this promo video for GTA 5, and it's called what is it called? Oh God, it's an Epsilon screensaver, and it's a promo video about Epsilon, and it's this cult or whatever. And it has all these rules. It's awesome. It's hilarious, rather. It sounds like some shit out of Zelda, almost.
Yeah.
But a little cool for Zelda. So definitely check that out. Maybe I should post it. It'll be on the website. I'll post it. How about that? Because we do have a GTA 5 thread. Let me be a part of the solution. So, by now you might have seen it. But yeah, Rockstar is definitely starting their shenanigans, right?
Yeah.
I guess that's what that means. When does GTA 5 come out?
September.
Hmm.
So, they need to worry up and show some gameplay from that shit.
Okay, so we don't have a GTA 5 thread. We just have GTA 5 posts. Yep. So, fuck
it. Serious?
Yeah. Huh,
we don't have a main one.
We don't have an official. Let's see. Can't front. This shit is sketchy.
Reading some of your posts on one of these GTA things.
Oh no, there is one. You made one.
Bumping into Doors Part 5, Cali Edition.
What?
Oh shit. One of your posts on one of the GTA 5.
What did I say?
Things. Bumping into Doors Part 5, Cali Edition.
It's true, man. Okay, I found the official Grand Theft Auto 4 thread. Posted 81 days ago. Alright, so we could do this offline. We could be... Actually, Scat, you made the thread. So yeah, definitely check that shit out, because it's hilarious. Let me see if I can read some quotes from it. Let me read some choice quotes from it, because I feel like... You kind of got to hear about it. Hold on. This might get a little choppy for a second, but I'm going to read some for those that can't see it. After YouTube blesses me with this ad. It's basically a spoof on Scientology. You know? So... They're doing their wacky zaniness. Okay, here it is. The 12 goals of Epsilonism. Right. And basically they have like, it's a sky. We are making an assault on happiness. That's one. Two, we will be generous in ways that are upwards and ways that are manifest. The goals of Epsilonism will continue to be revealed in due time. Kiflam. The Epsilonist Pledge. All good things come from craft. That is the fact on which Epsilonism is built. Epsilonism is a science as well as a religion. In fact, we are the only religion that is also a science. And this shit is going too fast. Hold up. It says, in fact, we are the only religion that is also a science and which is concerned with seeking out truth. So they have all of these funny sayings. As real truth seekers, we are willing to pay to make the search go better. In this way, we are investing in our future. The pledge will continue to be revealed in due time. Kiflam. The 12 tenets of Kiflam. This is the funny shit. 1. The world is 157 years old. Fact. 2. Dinosaurs are a lie that people believe because they are weak. Fact. 3. You are happy. You just don't know it. Fact. Let me read one more. 2 more. 4. We all come from the same tree. Fact. 5. Everyone is related to everyone else, except for people with red hair. Fact. Shit is hilarious.
Ginger people.
6. Sperm does not exist. It is a lie, spread by biology teachers, along with everything else you've ever been told. Fact. This shit is hilarious. So yeah. I really hope GTA doesn't do what they always do to me. You know what that is? Sell me on trailers and then I'm walking in the walls once I buy the game. That's what I don't want. Fucking clever marketers, dude, is what they are. We are not amused. So yeah, man. So they're starting their marketing push, because this is all they've done thus far has been show us, like, you know, trailers and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Not well, even trailers. Part, no.
It was,
screenshots.
Two trailers. I think they had the initial reveal trailer, and then they had another one a year later.
Right.
And like screens, but we've not seen anything in terms of actual gameplay. Like any of like missions from previews and shit. Though.
Conveniently.
So, conveniently, yeah. So I don't know if they wait until E3 for that shit or just. I mean, to be honest, I think it's got to be like maybe just before E3. I mean, if you think about it, E3 is like less than 2 months away now, so I think we may see some actual gameplay just beforehand, because aren't Rockstar like renowned for not going to E3?
Oh yeah, they're never at E3.
Yeah, so I'm thinking we'll see something beforehand. You know, so
they are never at E3, so yeah, they're gonna do it before, or they might even wait till the hype dies down after.
Mm.
But they never compete with E3. And they're always successful, so shit, you know.
I mean, to be honest, I'm so hyped for like next generation right now that the GTA 5 shit, it's not even that much on my radar at the moment. So I mean, a lot of shit's coming out now about next gen that's just got me hyped as hell. Starting with The Evil Within.
Right. When is that coming out?
It's dropping in 2014, but they have confirmed that it is going to be a cross-generation title. So it is coming to PS3, 360, and PS4, the next Xbox, and PC.
Mm.
they've not said whether or not it'll come to Wii U, but
right.
But you know, so. But yeah, there's just so much shit getting spoken about, and there was actually, I was reading in Eurogamer today, there's actually some other action RPG called Lords of the Fallen, which is coming to next gen as well, which is sounding quite promising. I think one of the people who are working on it is actually one of the main guys who was working on the Witcher games, you know, the Witcher 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely got some, like, credibility behind it.
Right.
And, so, yeah, shit's gearing up and hype's as hell for E3. You know?
We'll see. So,
but you know, I think we've already said before on the podcast, you know, GTA 5 is gonna go either way. It's either gonna be a great game, or it's just gonna be a bad game. I really don't think there's gonna be any sort of in between with it.
Mm-mm.
You know, I think they're talking a whole lot of shit, Rockstar, with, you know, what they're doing with this game, but
are they? They haven't been saying shit.
when that last trailer come out, the kind of shit they were saying, how, you know, how big the world is gonna be, and, like, you know, you can actually go swimming in the oceans and go deep sea diving and all this shit and all this mad craziness gonna be. And what I said at the time was, that's all good, but, you know, if you're bringing this shit to these consoles, are these consoles going to be able to handle that? You know, PC, if the game comes out on PC, which I think it is, I'm not too sure, to be honest.
GTA 5?
Yeah, if GTA 5 comes out, if it does come out on PC.
Did GTA 4 come out on PC?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, because that shit's on Steam for like £5 or some shit like that. So, but GTA 5 comes to PC, yeah, PCs can handle that shit.
I don't know why they didn't do Red Dead on PC. That shit just blows my mind.
I have no idea, but Red Dead was awesome.
Alright.
But I'm just hoping Rockstar ain't going to be all the talk, and they can actually deliver a game that's not only a great game, but that actually runs well. That's just my biggest concern about games right now, so late in this generation, is them running well on the hardware that they're running on, basically. Because, you know, as generations progress, obviously games get a lot more ambitious.
Yeah, don't matter to me, dude. I'm getting PC stuff, so.
Yeah, but, yeah. That's all right for all y'all who got PCs and shit, you know. But for us specific console users,
sorry,
shit's a big deal.
Hate to be ya.
But that's the way it is. It's just, you know, as the generation comes to an end, you know, games get a lot more ambitious. And to me, it's like, well, you know, if the game runs good, then that's fine. But if your game's a buggy mess, then
shitty, you know, games. That's why I'm so glad I got the PC, dude, because it's about to be exactly what you say. It's about to be craptastic, you know. Yeah. So,
well, I think as far as, like, third party titles go, then yeah, but obviously the exclusives, and they've got that dedicated, you know, sort of resource going into that one game on that one platform. I mean, I think games like The Last of Us and Beyond Two Souls, you know, they're really going to be pushing the PlayStation 3 specifically, obviously, you know. Right. And I think they're games that are going to look great.
Yeah, that'll be fine. Last of Us is going to be fine. I mean, Uncharted still looks good, 2 and 3, so even if they went with that level of quality, they'll be fine. At least for this year, you know. As long as the game itself is not shit.
I mean, it's like, it's kind of funny because I was, like, getting into a bit of a debate with Talon a couple of weeks ago.
All about what?
Well, it was basically when I got my fight stick for the PS3, you know, and he was kind of going on, like, telling us, you know, about the way fighting games are on PlayStation 3. This, that, and the other. And I basically said, look, I've got a stick now on PlayStation 3. The only games I ever play on 360 anyway are Street Fighter.
Right.
So I no longer have to, like, update my Xbox Live, this, that,
and
the other.
And Street Fighter is dirt cheap, so...
Yeah.
It's like you can buy Super Street Fighter 4K edition for like $10.
Exactly.
So it's like,
so I was basically saying, you know, the reasons why I got it, and then we kind of got into the whole, well, because I basically said, you know, I have no reason at this point to give Microsoft my money. And
right. I agree.
He was going on, well, why don't you like Microsoft that much? And I was basically saying, you know, I just kind of think their whole business model at this moment is not what I hope, is not what I'd like it to be.
Yeah, I mean, you could just stop at the $50, you know, $40, $50 just to play online shit. Like, honestly, it wouldn't be so bad if I didn't get free games, plus I still play games online on PSN for free.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, once PSN did that, even before they did that, I started to say, well, how many games are 360 exclusives that I really need to play online here, you know?
Yeah.
Other than Halo games, I never liked Call of Duty, and then Battlefield, I could always play that on PS3, so I was like, you know what? Gears, fine, I mean, it wasn't enough. It's like, it wasn't enough. And I just was just like, what's the value of this service outside of cross-game chat? Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. It's just... Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And that was my argument, because I was saying to Talon, it's like, look, I mean, what is Xbox Live actually giving me right now? It's giving me the opportunity to have cross-game chat. That's fair enough. But in terms of actual, you know,
value
AAA exclusive titles, Microsoft ain't coming with that shit. They're holding off now for next gen.
Yeah.
Not only that, but every time I turn on my 360, I'm fucking bombarded with all those ads, all those apps and shit that I don't want. Whereas when I turn on my PS3, my PS3 is automatically set to go straight to my games list.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the first thing I see.
Wait, how do you set it to go to your games list?
Like the games icon, it's set to go straight to there. So
how does it do that? How do you do that?
I thought it was already automatically set. Like, I think there's two settings in there. It's like automatically start the disc.
To start the disc and there's no disc, it goes to the games.
Yeah, so it automatically it goes to the games list on my XMB, so I don't see, like, no ads whatsoever on my XMB, which is the way I like it, you know. So, and I was saying to Talon, you know, as well as, you know, PlayStation Plus, that's an optional service, and if you choose to join PlayStation Plus, you get access to all these kind of titles every month that, you know, you may not of what wanted to pick up at launch. So, for example, the UK in May, we get Hitman Absolution for free. And Talon's like, yeah, but you don't get to keep them games. It's like, okay, we don't get to keep them games, but once you've played them games and you've beat them, then you've got no reason really to keep them if they're on your hard drive anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, I mean, if you download the games,
you don't get to keep none of this shit. It's all a fucking myth. I mean, honestly,
you don't get to keep any of it, but then again, the digital title, so it's not like they've got any value anyway.
Right.
It's not like you can sell them on.
Right. And that was my whole thing, and that's what I was actually reading this. I was reading this post on Gaff, Neil Gaff, and dude was saying, like, how he wrote a letter to Nintendo, and his letter to Nintendo was, hey, you know, I love Nintendo, I love you guys. But what his question was, he was like, hey, as a 3DS owner, I wanted to ask you a question about the games that I buy that are digital. And his whole thing was, you know, I've already spent a good couple hundred bucks on digital games, and, you know, potentially that could go into the thousands with the, you know, how avid he is as a, you know, game purchaser or whatever. And he was like, well, his question was, what if he loses his 3DS? So what if he spends, because, you know, the 3DS, you can use any, you can buy bigger memory cards, right? They don't have that same Vita restriction, right? Yeah. So he was like, well, what if I, you know, spend a couple grand on games that are digital and I go digital only and I lose my 3DS? Like, what happens? Do you guys, will you guys be able to, will I be able to get these games again? And basically, Nintendo wrote back and they were like, basically, that he's shit out of luck. So, the games that you buy are tied to the system. So, if you lose the system, you can't re-download the games. They're not tied to your account. And I think that is just horrible, right? Like, think about how many kids have 3DSs and all of that, right? So it's like, okay, if you lose your 3DS or your 3DS breaks or something like that, well, if I guess if it breaks, you can send it to Nintendo, right? But if you lose it, which is really possible, or let's say you, you know, you can't get those games anymore. So it's like, it's just, to me, it's mind-boggling that, like, they can't make these games tied to your system. And then I was also thinking about it, too. I was like, okay, I was thinking about the stuff that I bought on the Virtual Console that now I'm going to have to buy over, right? I don't have to, but I'm saying if I wanted to buy, let's say, Punch-Out that I bought already and Super Mario World and all of these games that when the Wii came out I bought on Virtual Console, now I got to buy it all over again. And I get that Nintendo is trying to make you buy it over, but I think it's coming to the point where they're just gonna have, I'm not gonna be that kind of consumer, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've already bought Punch-Out at least 3 times in my lifetime. Mm. Super Mario World, God knows how many times. Like, I'm just gonna emulate that shit, you know? Like, that's what people are gonna start doing, is just saying, you know what? I'm gonna just play this on my PC, you know, because how many times am I gonna buy this stuff? Like, it's whack, you know, it's whack as fuck, you know, you can't have a Nintendo account with Nintendo games on it, and it's like they're actively keeping this that way so that they can keep charging you for the same stuff within 3 years periods. It's like, it would be okay if it was like 10 years ago, right? But just 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I bought all this stuff, and now it's like, oh, you want to play it on 3DS? You got to buy it over. You want to play it on Wii U? You got to buy it over. It's like, you know what? No, I don't. I don't. You know what I'm saying? So, it's the same shit that you're saying. Like, I don't know, man. I think that shit's whack, man. And that whole digital, this whole digital future is not all it's cracked up to be. You know, when it's done well, it works well. It works awesome. Like, I love the whole PSN stuff, right? Like, I think they're doing it the best right now, yeah, out of the three big ones, right? So the stuff that I bought on my PSN account for my PSP that's digital, I still can get it on my PS Vita, right? So that's great. You know, that feels like, as a consumer, like, okay, the money I'm investing with this company is actually, there's something there, like, you know, there's value to my account.
Yeah. Exactly, and I think at this point in time, I think Sony is the most value for money at this point. Because if you choose to invest in the PlayStation Plus program, which is an option, you're not forced into it, then you can take advantage of having the free games each month that, you know, may have passed you by at launch. You can take advantage of all the discounts that they have every month.
Right.
You know, things like that. And you can take advantage of the fact that Sony is still bringing out like AAA exclusive titles all the way up to the end of the generation, straight into the next generation, you know? So Sony are just a better value for money for me right now. Microsoft are really not doing anything for me. I'm not saying
I don't hate Microsoft.
That's like,
there's still some great games on that system that I like Ikaruga and, you know, Ninja Gaiden 2 and Bayonetta. Like, so there's still games on there that I'm like, shit, like,
yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean? That I couldn't play anywhere else, but as far
exactly.
as the, as far as the online, I don't know, like.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I mean, the 360, other than Steam, is the only place I get to play Alan Wake, you know, and you know how much of a fan of Alan Wake I am. But I'm thinking, just as far as their general video game output has been, in terms of games that draw you to their system in particular, I mean, what has there been other than Halo 4 and Gears of War Judgment in like the past 2-3 years, you know? So I'm not saying that's going to be an ongoing thing. I'm sure they've got a load of shit lined up for this next Xbox, and I'm sure they're going to try and bring the heat when this shit is finally revealed.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think right now, right at this stage of the generation, the 360 is just not for me. And the fact that I've now got a fight stick on PS3 means that I've got absolutely no reason whatsoever to turn on that 360 anymore. That shit, it literally is just sat there now. Because I've got all the fighting games I want to play.
I wouldn't say
on
that.
PS3.
I still turn mine on to play certain things. Shoot 'em up games, shmups, and stuff like that. So, not for online, but definitely to play stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, like, how many times can I play through Alan Wake? You know?
Yeah, because that's that kind of game. That game
exactly.
sucks. But like a game, but a game with actual replay value, like, you know, Ninja Gaiden 2 or Bayonetta or, you know, Ikaruga or cave with those cave shooters, or, you know, those games have way more replay value. Like, those games are score attack games. All of the games I just mentioned are score attack games. Ikaruga is awesome. Are you crazy?
Got me buying that shit. I can't get off the first stage and shit.
That's because you suck. Stick to flashlights
shit.
In the dark.
But yo, but there's something to thing about PlayStation Plus, though, because in the month of May, PS Vita, we get Cinemora.
Yeah, so. But you can't compare Cinemora to Ikaruga, man. That's like
Ikaruga.
Ikaruga's way better.
Waste my heart. How much was that shit? 800 points? 1200 points? I didn't get off the first stage.
That game is awesome, man. That game is all classic. You can even play online. That shit's dope. I think I played with Talon once or twice. It's pretty fun. And it said, yeah, that game's dope. What are you crazy? Anyway. I wanted to talk about Guacamelee, though. Guacamelee, did you ever get a chance to play it, or?
Yeah, I played it. I've not beat it yet. I got up to the part where you fight that chick, that witch.
Oh, okay, yeah, dude's girlfriend.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if you fight her multiple times, but at least that first time, I beat that, and then that's where I'm up to.
That game is dope. That's one of my favorite games I've played this year so far. Personally, I think it's a Game of the Year contender. Honestly. Based off of just straight fun factor, like, I just had fun all the way through. Like, every time I picked up the game to play it, I'd play it longer than I thought I would. And it just got better and better and better as you get new abilities. The combat became more fun, and I was kind of worried about that with the game. I was like, melee, it says, you know, it's Guacamelee, which is, so the, you know, what I would liken to a game like Streets of Rage, you know, that melee combat, I assumed, I was nervous about that being boring, like going through a whole game with just melee, you know, kind of thing. A Metroid-style game with melee, but they pull it off so well that it's fun to kind of, like, hit enemies, pick them up, throw them into other enemies, you know, uppercut enemies in the air, and then punch them and kick them, and then grab them and pile-drive them. Like, the combat was just fun. The game moved so fluid at 60 frames, like, it was just fun. exploring, finding secret rooms, figuring out how to, like, get that thing all the way up there, you know. I just thought the game was fantastic, you know, and charming and all that stuff. Like, I was really shocked. I didn't, you know, I was looking forward to it, but I wasn't, mostly because I felt like it was like a Vita game, you know, and that was mostly the basis. Just curious about the Metroid thing, and but when I started to play it, I was like, wow, you know, like, they definitely need to make a part two or something else great. I just want more Metroidvania style games. Like, they really need to make a Castlevania on the Vita, something, man. Like, you know, like a Portrait of Ruin remake or something. Well, Aria of Sorrow, one of those types of games.
The new Batman game is going to be like a sort of Metroidvania style game.
Oh, that's right. Totally. Good point. So you know, I'm buying that.
And that's coming out around like October, November time. So
hope it doesn't suck. But nah, yeah. And you know, but I was just so surprised with Guacamelee because I didn't really think the Mutant Blobs attack game on Vita was that great. Like, I had bought it and I played it. I never beat it. To me, it got boring. So this coming from that game was really surprising to me. You know. But I would definitely highly recommend Guacamelee, definitely. Like, if you like that Castlevania side-scrolling, you know, find this hidden room, find that power-up to get you in the next area, backtracking type of game, you'll love this shit. Even the bosses, like, this is, it's always something that makes you smirk about what they do with the game, and I don't know how they could make a part two, because it's like, so what, do they do the bullshit Zelda thing where they take all your powers away and you gotta, you know, like,
yeah.
Oh, that would suck. I don't know how they could do that again, or I don't know. That's a challenge, right? That's what I didn't like about the Metroid, those games where it's like there's always that cutscene and then you lose your suit powers or whatever the hell, and then you gotta get it back in Metroid, so I don't know. Super Metroid is just an awesome game. I was actually listening to NPR yesterday, right? And then they had, like, they were talking about the whole Boston bombing thing that happened in the States.
Yeah.
And the dude from NPR, who works for NPR, that was, like, their, like, he works in their technology. He's like, I forgot what his title is, but he basically is, like, their social media news person, right? So he was one of the people who was listening to police scanners and, like, you know, helping the police and, you know, getting information from various sources and posting it and stuff. I forgot what his milestone was. Like, in that case, he was the person that put together or helped the police find anyway, he was playing Super Metroid. So I'm listening to this, and he was like, how he was at home, he got home from work, and he was like playing Super Metroid, and he was like, you know, let me just check Twitter right quick. And he was checking Twitter. No, he said, let me check the police scanner. Because he was using a police scanner to get basic news, and he was posting the police scanner news on Twitter. Like, the police, you know, would say, oh, well, you know, we found this, or gunshots, or whatever, and he would post that. And he was just talking about how, I found it crazy that he was playing Super Metroid, and that he was just, like, talking about it a little bit on the air, and I thought that was awesome. And you're like, what does that have to do with anything? I don't know. But I just found that shit dope. Like, of all the games to be playing. But is that game on 3DS?
I'm not sure.
Have they re-released it yet?
I'm not too sure.
I'm not buying that shit until they fix that account issue. Seriously. And they come out with some new colors for 3DS XL in the States. Because we have all the black colors, like red. There's red and black and all white, and I don't want an all white 3DS.
What color do you want?
That's racist. I want a black 3DS or something different, man. Orange or some shit. I don't want no damn white 3DS. Fucking Nintendo. Is Nintendo racist? Can't get a black 3DS.
We got them over here.
Some bullshit. There's no equality. Nintendo's holding everybody back. Nah, but yeah, they need some new colors, man. Damn, they probably did some market research or something. You know, it's market research based. Yeah, because you guys have the Monster Hunter bundle.
So, just before we move on, then, considering you just made that comment then about Nintendo, so let's talk about your thoughts on Django after all this time.
Oh, I saw the movie. Yeah, I was talking about racism. let's see. It was a movie. I don't know if, you know. I don't think it's any less racist than Kill Bill. I think Kill Bill is a racist movie. You know? And it didn't occur to me, and I'm a fan of the movie. It didn't occur to me until one day I was watching it, and I was like, yo, this is racist. You know, and you're probably thinking, why? How the hell is Kill Bill a racist movie? Or it has racist...
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Think about it. Okay. You have blonde, white, female protagonist that basically goes to Japan, kills all of the Asians... Everywhere she goes, she's like the basic, you know, badass of all badasses. She goes to China and learns the secret kung fu wizardry. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of a little too, like, I don't know, man. You know what I mean? One can argue that, you know, blonde white chick going to Japan to defeat the kingpin of Japan, Asian, in a samurai fashion, could kind of be seen as, you know what I mean? It has that kind of, like, really, come on, you know? There's something there, you know what I mean? Definitely. So, and I think, you know, that's Django's no more racist, is no less racist than that is, you know, for her to be kind of, you know, that whole great white hope of the best assassin and all of that stuff. You could make that argument. I mean, I'm not saying that it's true or that was the intent of Tarantino, you know, it happens to be the case in Kill Bill's stance, right? But I think, you know, like, a lot of that stuff is subliminal and you don't even notice it, right? But it does kind of, you can argue that it does shape the way you see things in people, right? Like, if you see images of heroes looking like Superman, then you're gonna be more apt to think that a hero's supposed to look like Superman, right?
Mm.
As opposed to someone of a different race. You know, you don't see Asian looking superheroes. You know what I mean? You don't see that type of thing. So, this is the stuff that you don't really think about that subconsciously can affect the way you look at people, you know, and the judgments
you
make.
So, then, Explain to me the Django thing then, because to
okay.
me, so Django is the hero of the story.
He's the hero who gets freed by. He's not freed upon his own, for the most part, his own wits, and, you know, he's granted freedom by the German dude, right? Mm. So he's empowered and taught and all of that. You know, you could make that case. I'm not saying that I'm absolutely in that camp, because I'm not, but I could see how someone could say, yeah, you know, it would have been one thing, it would have been a true black empowerment film if the Django, you know, or Django, whatever the hell, you know, freed himself and did the badass stuff on his own. But, I mean, that would be even more unlikely, right? Like, you'd have to suspend so much disbelief to kind of get there, that I see why Tarantino did what he did. So I'm not saying that, you know, right.
I mean, well, exactly. I mean, I'm not all up on my American history and everything, but I would have thought that scenario in the film would have been the most likeliest to have happened.
Not even though, historically speaking, tons of people escaped. You know. I mean, so many people escaped that they had underground, you know, places to hide while you were on the trail to escape. They had, like, underground paths to escape. So, people escaped, you know what I mean? Of course, that wasn't something that was advertised. But, you know, so it wouldn't have been out of the realm of possibility any less, you know, kind of thing. I don't know.
So like, has the controversy stemmed more from the fact that it was the German guy who freed Django, or the
no?
Or
I think the controversy,
the excessive use of the N word.
I think there was a lot of people who thought that the language, the use of the N word, right, and the depiction of slavery as this, like, the romanticizing of, I mean, the film does portray slavery as this bad thing, but it does kind of do it in a spaghetti western kind of way, where it's kind of, like, sensationalizes the whole thing, like, you know, it makes the, it, you know, it kind of makes light in it of it to a certain degree, right? You have glimpses of the brutality, but for the most part, it's not giving you the real, like, this shit is really that fucked up, you know what I mean, kind of thing. So I don't know, man. You could argue, I could see that argument. It depends on if you feel like the entertainment. Some people just don't like something that serious to be sensationalized for entertainment. You know, the same way you have a certain people who are like, you know what? Don't make movies about the Holocaust that are not fully showing you how really effed up it was, you know? Because it's kind of like you're dishonoring the people who lived through the horrific things that happened in the Holocaust because, you know, by making a movie that maybe the movie is about a tale about something else, like Inglourious Basterds.
So basically what you're saying, Django is no Schindler's List.
Right. Exactly. Like it's an entertainment movie about a subject that is horrible. You know what I mean? So based off of that, some people are like, it's poor taste. I'm not going to support that, you know? If you're going to talk about it in a way that honors the people that had to endure that and how bad it was and all of that stuff, and not, you know, anyway, that's kind of that stance. I could see both arguments. I could see the argument of, you know, this is not really about slavery per se. It's really more about this guy trying to get revenge, right?
Yeah.
And this guy trying to get back with his wife. It's more of a love story than it is about slavery, but some people don't even like the idea of toying with this particular sacred thing to that end. So, I don't know. I'm somewhere in the middle, personally.
So you're not necessarily in the Spike Lee camp?
Nah, not really. But I'm not really outside of it either. I see what he's saying. You know, because at what point, you know, it's a slippery slope, right? It's like, once you start doing that, then is it okay for Saturday Night Live to do skits about it? You know what I mean?
Mm.
At what point does that... Is it too... people too lax about the seriousness of those atrocities, you know?
Yeah.
So I see that point, but... yeah, you know. I don't know. It was an entertaining movie. And, you know, he does blow them up, so... yeah.
I don't know, man. I think my favorite scene in that movie...
Spoilers.
Well, it's just the part where he's... he's blowing shit up, but the Tupac track is playing in the background.
Oh, yeah, the Tupac. I know, that's what I'm saying. He sensationalized it. It's like, come on, you playing Tupac. Yeah. So, yeah, man. You know. I rented it on, Hulu. Not Hulu, Vudu. So, haha. I kinda didn't give him all my money.
You could have had that shit for free if you watched it months ago and I sent you the link.
Oh, I know, right? That shit is totally down. Don't think I didn't check it. That link was down. But it's okay.
Screener and everything.
Yeah. So, what else do we have on our list today? Soul Sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one. We can't not talk about Soul Sacrifice. So, what do you think?
I'm not sure if I get it. It's probably the most appropriate phrase.
You really want to say I don't like that shit?
No, I had fun with the demo. Honestly, I really did. I had fun with the demo, but I just didn't get it. I was more like, because, and I said this on the site, what threw me off was the day before the demo dropped, Jim Sterling of Destructoid had said he'd put like 30 plus hours into this game, because obviously he's reviewing the game, so obviously he's got his code and whatnot. And then I was playing the demo, and then I was more expecting a more of an adventure game. More sort of...
Castlevania,
Lords of Shadow game.
No.
And then I was just dumped into all these arenas, and I was like...
No, the game never was supposed to be that. It's not... There's a storyline, but it's not... it's not that at all. I mean, Monster Hunter doesn't even have a story. You know?
Mm.
So... it's not that dissimilar from Monster Hunter in that you're basically fighting these big bosses, right? These big demons in this case. Or animals or demons, whatever you want to call them. Dragons and stuff and beasts. But yeah, there's no world to explore, right? It's like you get teleported into this arena, you're right, and you fight this big boss, and then you collect your loot that you got from beating it, and then you go back to the main screen, and then you see some cutscenes about, you know, the story and I thought it was awesome, though, the way, like, you have your companion, your magician companion, and then just how that plays out, you know? I thought that that was cool, and that made it more interesting. Like, it kept me playing through it to see what was going to happen, and I thought that that, you know, if that's a throwaway for the demo, I thought that was a great sign of what they had in store, you know? With the magician and how that played out, like, wow, I thought, oh, you know, that was I was impressed by the storytelling aspect of it and how just it, you know, just talks to you about, you know, I think in that way it kind of tells you about the kind of world you're in, universe, and you know, the other magicians and just how people act towards each other and, you know, souls and what your job is and what you're there to do. And I thought that was pretty cool, and just the fact of, you know, the context of you reading this book and the game is a backstory, right? The game is you reading this book in this cell, learning about what happened to this. I guess you're reading the book about the guy you have to fight at the end of the game, that big wizard.
Yeah.
And how he became that. You know, and you have this hope of learning how to, I don't know, get powers to potentially beat him, or I don't know. I thought it was pretty cool. I thought that, you know, usurped the need to have a world. I don't know. You know, I don't know. That didn't bother me.
I think what my problem was is because I'd avoided so much of spoiling the game up until this demo. I mean, I think the only thing I really knew about it was the fact that you could play it as a co-op.
Right, but playing it, okay. But with that said, when you turned it on and you just played through the single player, how did you know? Because I didn't read anything Soul Sacrifice until I played it. And I just took it as what it was, and I thought it was awesome. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it, but then it's like, I'd done that arena, and I thought, oh, okay. And then I'd done another arena, and then another, and then another.
Yeah, the first three are back, though.
And then it was like, this is just a demo, and already I'm kind of getting bored of the scenario of this situation, and then I was thinking back to what I said before. Well, Jim Sterling said he's put like 30 plus hours into this shit, so what exactly is bringing him back to this game?
Well, okay, so were you like playing around with the new powers you were getting and like messing around with the different, trying out the different abilities? And
yeah, I was trying them out, but I was like, I don't know.
Because that's what happened with me. Like, I played the first three, because the first three are like tutorials, right? And then, I think on the fourth or fifth one, you actually fight a boss. You fight that big... For me, the game opened up when you fight that big beast in the temple.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, holy shit, this game is awesome. Because before that, I was like, eh...
Well,
I was trying out the different abilities.
The bit where you had to fight the chick.
Yeah, I beat that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I beat.
And then because it was after that, then the game kind of opens up and allows you to play online.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, I was sold on it even before that. So I think once I got to the first boss, that big thing, that huge monster, I realized, okay, what I was doing before was just like demo, like not like tutorial. And then, you know, you kind of have to say, okay, well, I'm going to use these abilities for this guy. And then you kind of got to have a strategy to take him out. And then once I did that, I was like, okay. And then you fight the chick after that. And then I was like, oh, okay. I you know, that's when I started to really like it. And then I just like messing with the different abilities, like the boulder ability, when you turn into a boulder and you could, like, mow down and just roll into people, and like the blades that you get, that you could shoot at people. I don't know if you got messed with any of that stuff, like...
Yeah, yeah, the ball, yeah.
I don't know, I liked it. I thought the action was cool. The co-op stuff... I think... I understand what you're saying, though. I think once you get to the part where... you have to play online, I think that's where it could fall apart. Like... I tried to fight the biggest one in the demo, the three-headed beast or whatever it is. Hmm. The griffin, not a griffin, it's a Cerberus. If you tried to fight that one, it's the dragon that has electricity and three heads, and you fight it in a nighttime in that big courtyard.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, try to fight that shit. That's when you see that one, you're like, oh, this is what this game is, because it's like, it's a huge monster, and you really have to be really strategic, and it's one of those that is so powerful, you need to level up enough, or have, like, three other people playing, that's all, you guys have to kind of, like, help each other, and, like, save each other, and all that stuff, like, reviving each other, and, you know, I don't know how... I understand what you're saying, though. Like, my concern is... I think we have the same concern. I think it's kind of like... if I'm playing it by myself. Like, so... am I going to be able to go through a single-player campaign without having to go online? You know?
Yeah, exactly. And I said that on the site. It's like... the whole more fun with friends thing. It's like... okay, that's fair enough, but the likeliness of us all getting into a lobby at the same time to play this shit, I mean, that ain't very likely at this point. You know, so... I don't know. I really don't know. I think it's going to be a fun game for a particular type of person. I'll probably pick it up just because at this point I can get it half price with like the credit I've got.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll cost me like £15, which is great, and it's another Vita game to add to the library. But I don't think this game is gonna do for the Vita what it's done for it in Japan. I think it is very much a Japan centric kind of game.
You think? I don't know.
I can't see it really blowing up in the West, if I'm brutally honest.
I think you're right, though. I think it's not going to be what Monster Hunter is in the West.
Exactly.
Because Monster Hunter is here is Call of Duty, so...
Exactly. It's not going to be that game.
No, it's not. I think it's going to sell a lot, though. I think it's going to sell. Because if I think it's a fun game... then it's I think it's doing something right, and I'm only saying that because it's gonna get the people who like action games like me, and then it's gonna get the people who like the, you know, deliberate strategy, you know, and all of the RPG leveling up loot type of
folks.
Yeah,
but then again,
it's really on the line.
It's not the kind of game that you can market very well. I mean, that game drops next week, and I'm not seeing one bit of advertising other than dedicated video game websites. It's not like Assassin's Creed Revelation.
But you know, people
it's
in
not like the Call of Duty.
People in the States, and specifically, I don't know about how it is there, but they love some fucking horror shit. Like anything with horror and like Saw movies and all of that type of shit here. People, there's a lot of people who just love horror, and all of the anything demonic says a lot about our culture, but you know what I mean? Like anything in line with that type of sensibility, people like buy it, you know? Mm-hmm. Like that's one of the reasons why I was like, and we could talk about it too, the whole Hemlock Grove Netflix show, like it, like when I was watching that, I was like, you know what, they made this shit because it sells, you know, werewolves and fucking you know, I didn't, I'm assuming there's going to be vampires and all that other shit on the show. And it's like, you know what? Because people fucking love that shit in the States. You know, you have True Blood and you have Grimm and you have all these shows here that's all, it's all spins on the same shit. It's all evil beasts and mythical creatures. And I think there's a market for it, you know? I do think that, honestly, Dark Souls, same shit, right? Like, there's a market for that type of style of game, here in the West. Definitely. It's all about whether they're gonna be able to tap into it, so, I don't know, man, I think it could do well. I know it's not gonna be Call of Duty, but I think it's gonna do alright. You know?
Well, at this point, I hope it does well for the system. That's about it.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm not expecting too much from the full release, if I'm quite honest. I mean, my expectations for the full release have dropped dramatically since playing the demo. And not because I thought it was bad, it's just basically I thought there were going to be more to it, honestly. I didn't expect to just be dropped in arenas over and over and over and over again, you know. So, but that's more of a fault on my part because I didn't delve into the game more before the demo dropped. I tried to keep it as spoiler free as possible, you know. So, and I heard how well the game was doing in Japan, so I was like, okay, so
how's it doing in Japan?
Well, I think it's selling quite well. I think because I think the game dropped like a week after the Vita price drop in Japan. Awesome. So it helped sell a shit ton of Vitas. I think the first week Soul Sacrifice dropped, the Vita actually sold more than the 3DS.
Yeah, it definitely did.
That week. So I think it's definitely selling well. I mean, it's not selling in the millions, but I think it's sold a good, like, few hundred thousand by now.
So it's a success in Japan.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Like I say, yeah, I'll probably pick it up just for the sake of having another Vita game and possibly getting more into it the more I play it.
But I'm surprised you didn't really like it. Like, I was surprised that I liked it, you know? I don't know.
We'll see. I mean, I'm glad that it was an extensive demo and not like just a little 10-minute thing.
Right.
I mean, the lore surrounding it sounds, you know, quite interesting.
Oh,
the music is fantastic.
The music is fantastic. The way they, just the presentation of the game and the way they give you the story is awesome and creative as hell, honestly. Like, it's really well thought out.
I think it plays really good as well.
Yeah, and it's like,
it's not the best looking game.
Yeah, it's not the best looking, but it's not, you know what it is? I realized that it's because they're using that dynamic resolution shit. Like, one minute you're looking at it and it's like, what? And the next minute you're like, wow, that looks awesome. You know, because the resolution of the game is shifting as you play it. So, like, sometimes you'll see characters up close and you're like, wow, that looks really detailed. And then the next minute it looks, you know, pixelated.
Really
low res. And it's you have to get adjusted to it. It's like, visually, it's not consistent, but
yeah, because, like, the sections where, like, the bookie's talking to you, it looks, like, really grainy and shit.
Right.
And I'm like,
I think that's a style choice. Yeah, I agree, though. I've said the same thing. I was like, why'd they do that? But there's definitely been parts where I was like, wow, that monster looks crazy. Like, I've taken some screenshots that look really good. Like, it's really weird that way. And I don't, you know, it's definitely not a total shit looking game though. Cause there's sometimes when you like use some of those powers, you're like, wow, that's a nice effect, or oh wow, that looks great, you know? So, I don't know, man. I think there's something to it, like customizing your character. I've been online and I've seen people with like really nice looking characters, and everybody looks different. So like you could kind of make out the different people on your team by visually, which is awesome. And it's not just palette swaps or whatever. So I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic about it after playing, and I think it's I'm definitely gonna buy it at a certain point. It's all about at what price or what sale. But I'm definitely very interested in playing more of it. Like even if it's just to get through the story, because I thought the story was really interesting. So I don't know. We'll see.
So it's not a day one buy for you?
Nah. Well, you know. Plus, I'm just trying to get a new job too. So I'm not really day one buying anything right now. Definitely not that. It'd have to be something like Killzone Vita for me to day one buy it at this point. You know what I'm saying? It'd have to be like that, or like Rayman Legends, or like I think they announced a Vita version of that, or they've made it's been some type of like ESRB thing. But yeah, you know, or some really inexpensive downloadable title that's like $15 or $10, you know, but to drop $40. I'm not really doing that right now at the moment. So, you know, I haven't even bought DOA 5 yet, and I really want that, but not that much. But yeah, so what else? I guess we could talk about what we've been playing, right?
We haven't spoke about The Evil Within.
Oh shit, The Evil Within. More zombie. See, same
demonic shit.
Demonic horror shit. A brain with barbed wire on it, and a house that's upside down. Like, come on, this shit sells, man.
I must admit, I got high hopes for The Evil Within. Definite high hopes. I just hope they can capitalize on it, because what has been sorely, sorely lacked this generation is survival horror. Really?
Survival horror?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Good survival horror, because Resident Evil is not that, is it?
Resident Evil ain't that. Dead Space was that. And then lost it.
True.
And, I mean, where the hell is the Fatal Frame franchise? Alan Wake only had one game and a DLC, but that was more of a psychological sort of thriller than a survival horror.
Mm-hmm.
But shit, like, what else, really, this generation, man, other than, I don't know, some sort of creepy-ass first-person shooter games, like Condemned. I don't know, but what is just sorely lacked in survival horror. And The Evil Within, I think, you know, it's starting off well with the likes of, you know, Shinji Mikami's behind it. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy behind Resident Evil. He directed Resident Evil 4, you know, and then just completely left the series alone after that.
Right.
Which is crazy, because Resident Evil 4 was the last great Resident Evil game, so. You know, I think there's definitely a lot of promise there from the IGN preview that I was reading today. You know, it definitely looks like there's a lot of promise. They didn't show any actual gameplay, which I thought was a bit of a shame, because that's, you know, they can show all the concept art and shit and live action trailers you want, but if the gameplay doesn't look that good, then, you know, then the gameplay is the most important thing.
True.
But, you know, there's definitely a... I mean, this game was like first... This game was teased a year ago now under the Project Y, and they showed like one piece of concept art for it. So, I mean, by the time it drops next year, 2014, it's going to have at least a good, what, 2.5 years development time. I think when they first dropped that first piece of concept art last year, I think they said they had the basis of the game half done. So, by release, a good 2 years, going on 3 years. So, really extensive development time. I think the fact that the game's going to be cross-generation as well, so mm-hmm. 360, PS3, PC, PS4, and the next Xbox, I think it's going to serve it quite well. I think me personally, I'll get it for the PS4, mm-hmm. just because I think for this kind of game, it really looks like they're going to try to be pushing it visually, mm-hmm. so you're going to want the best visual possible. You know, with the smoothest kind of experience. So, I think by the time 2014 comes around, anyway, I'll already own the next generation console. So, that's a no-brainer. But yeah, I'm excited about it. I'm excited that the fact that he's talking about it in that interview that I posted up earlier on today, the IGN preview and everything. He's talking about how, you know, people are touting their survival horror games as survival horror, but they turn out to be pure action games, like Dead Space 3, like Resident Evil 5 and 6, mm-hmm. you know, so I'm glad that he is trying to find a proper balance. I mean, Resident Evil 4 was, I believe, more action than survival horror, so I'm kind of hoping it's just a little bit less than that. I think Resident Evil 4 kind of had a good balance, but I thought the action outweighed the survival horror just a bit. So I think, you know, if he's using that as the foundation, kind of, then he'll be able to find that perfect balance between survival horror and action. I mean, there's going to have to be action elements in the game anyway in order to keep it fun, in order to keep people interested. But, you know, if it's going to be this psychological kind of menacing type game, then I think you need that exploration. I think the player needs to feel at a disadvantage.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's no point having a game based upon survival if you don't feel like you're at a disadvantage. You know what I mean? So, it's going to be interesting to see how this one pans out, but hey, if anyone can do it, it's Shinji Mikami.
Right.
So, you know?
His games are awesome.
Exactly, so, but we've got a long way to wait. Yeah. I'm hoping that we see some gameplay of it pretty soon. Probably E3. Probably get a first taste of it. I don't know. But I said that live action trailer, that shit was dope. I mean, so some of the designs of the monsters, mm-hmm. the guy with a box on his head, that like four legged woman thing. At least we know the enemy designs are going to be quite good.
Right.
And everything, you know, so yeah, I think it's definitely something to be excited for in the coming future. And, you know, next generation is already getting some quite quality looking games already, you know, and we don't even know what these consoles look like. So it's kind of crazy. It's something to look forward to over the next 12 months.
I know. I want to know what Itagaki's working on. You know? I'm curious. Because he's game. I mean, he's been working on it forever. And I'm sure he's going to wait till the new gen too, right?
Yeah.
I wonder what that's going to be like. Who knows?
Yeah, so, you know, fingers crossed, survival horror is going to have a bit of a revitalization over the next year.
We'll see. You don't, yeah. So, yeah, survival horror is definitely
And I tell you what, if Microsoft don't come out and say that Alan Wake 2 is going to be a launch title, I'm going to be pissed.
You're going to be what?
I'm going to be pissed. If Alan Wake 2 is not a launch title, launch window title, it's like, come on, man. Alan Wake.
Was Alan Wake download only? No, it wasn't. It was a real title, right?
Yeah. They released a DLC that I never played because it was more action than it was, and I don't really think it tied in very well to the actual main storyline in the game of Alan Wake.
Right, because the main story was probably tied up at, when the game's over, right? Or did they leave a cliffhanger?
They left a cliffhanger. Oh, a major fucking cliffhanger. Which is why I'm like, yo, where's Alan Wake 2?
That game.
Can't just leave that shit.
I did not dig that game. At all. Seriously.
Anyway, we've been over that a million times. That Alan Wake is such a dope game. It's unbelievable, but Alan Wake is one of the most underrated games this generation.
Oh man, I'm gonna just let that one go.
I mean, the way you feel about games like...
I couldn't disagree more.
The way you feel about games like Vanquish, and they may not get the kind of love that you think
Vanquish, think but see, better. Vanquish has a cult following. You know what I mean? Like, Vanquish reviewed well and had a cult following. It just never got any promotions. Like, Sega didn't market the game at all. That was the problem with Vanquish. Like, it wasn't that the game was bad, or it was critically did well. It's just that Sega didn't market it at all. Like, they spent no money on it, and it kind of was sent to just die, really. But I mean, if you go online and see Vanquish, people love that shit because it's awesome. But I don't know. I guess you could say the same for Alan Wake to a lesser extent.
Alan Wake,
people who may have liked that particular game for whatever reason that I'll never understand. That will elude me.
But anyway, I hope the evil within is going to kind of like unleash, you know, a revival of the genre. I mean, I was saying on Twitter the other day, like, Project Zero, also known as Fatal Frame over in the US, you know, that's kind of taken a backseat this generation. I think Fatal Frame 4 come out on the Wii, and it was Japan only. And the Fatal Frame series is, like, the survival horror game. That's, like, the epitome of scary-ass games. You know? Mm-hmm. And, like, they released 3 games on the PS2 and original Xbox. I'm hoping they release more, because them games, they're pure survival horror. I think they've got the first and possibly second Fatal Frame now on the PSN, on the US PSN. So if you can check that shit out, then definitely do, if you're a fan of survival horror and you've never played it, because them games, they scare the fuck out of me. I mean, creepy little Japanese girls running around villages alone with ghosts and shit. I mean, that's creepy, man. It's fucking creepy. So, yeah, we kind of need a revival, because Silent Hill ain't doing shit. Resident Evil ain't doing shit. Alone in the Dark ain't doing shit. You know, all these major franchises.
Alan Wake ain't doing shit.
Alan Wake 2 is at Remedy Studios, and that's being built and made, ready to make me happy with the launch of the next Xbox.
Gotta be.
So, Alan Wake is coming, man. I know that. Yeah, Alan probably, Wake is on his way.
It probably is.
Yeah, but, yeah. We need a definitely... We need a revitalization of this genre. Because it's sorely missed by me.
Okay, so let's get into what we've been playing.
Games we played this week.
That just has so much bass in it. It's like boom, 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 boom. So I'll go first. I've been playing Guacamelee. Beat that. Awesome, 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 awesome. Now I just gotta beat hard mode. I've been playing a little game on PS Vita called Blaze Blue Extend. And I don't remember. I deleted it to make some space, but then I re-downloaded it. And I'm so glad I did. I feel like it's like, I don't know, man. It's like, you know, when you buy something and then you don't end up using it, and then months later you rediscover this thing that you paid for, and it's like you have that bonus joy of knowing you're getting your money's worth. Like, I feel like I've been playing it online and arcade mode, unlocking stuff. I've been having a lot of fun with that game. It's crazy. So, and it's some stuff that I didn't even know. Like, the points you get from playing all of the different modes, arcade mode and online, you use that to unlock stuff in the gallery. So, not just like art, but announcer, like system voices and colors for the characters and all this other stuff that you can unlock. Unlimited version of the characters, which are like souped up versions. So it's all these unlockables that you can unlock with the points you earn from playing through it in various ways. So I've been really having fun, and I also just learned how to do air combos with my main character. So I've just been like, while I'm watching TV, just fucking around in practice mode. Isn't that crazy? Doing these combos, which is something I've never done before, but just the fact that I could watch TV and do it is so awesome. So I've been playing a lot of that and just loving that the fact that the game only uses 4 buttons. So like it's not gimped with, you know, how most fighting games are with not having enough buttons, 6. So I've been playing that. Metal Gear Solid Revengeance, played some of that as well. Soul Sacrifice, that demo, and a lot of shmup games on Vita. I've been playing, trying to beat hard mode. Apparently you don't get the real ending of Sinnamora until you beat it in hard mode, and I didn't know that, and I read it somewhere and I was like, get the fuck out of here. So when you beat it in normal mode, I thought I saw the ending, which is pretty fucking crazy. But apparently you get the real ending or the full ending when you beat it in hard mode. And then it, you know. So I'm trying to do that, which is fun. And so I've been playing that, playing other shmups like, oh God, of course I'm going to forget. Some of the TurboGrafx-16 ones that work on Vita, but you have to download them from the PS3. So I thought about making a thread about it, because there's all of these really fun Xanax, which is really crazy. And I meant to like go on about this game, because it's like a PS1 classic that it has this crazy AI. So Xanax is a PS1 game you can buy for like $5, right? And it has Xanax, and then it has Xanax Neo. And Xanax Neo is a newer one that was released in like 2001 or something. But the game is classic because it has AI. So basically, the game adapts to your playstyle on the fly. And as you play it and you're shooting, if you're using this particular weapon, the enemies attack you differently. And depending on the way the weapons you choose to level up and the way you play the game, the enemies adapt, so you know games are the same. And then there's all of these subtle nuances to, you can like ram these blocks to reveal the power level up items. And it's like, yo, I was reading this game fact about it, and the game is so deep. It's really great, but you have to kind of like read the game fact about it, and like, it's a classic game, so I've been playing a lot of that, and Star Soldier is a TurboGrafx-16 shoot 'em up game that's awesome. I've been playing that, and a couple other ones that I'm not forgetting right now, but that's mostly what I've been playing. But I'm gonna make a post about it, about like a wrap up of all of the different shmup games on Vita, because I feel like there's a lot on there if you're into it, you know. And there's still some I need to try. So, been on that. That's my story. And Street Fighter, been playing that. Got in some games with Talon, and. I saw a Scat online, but he didn't want to jump in the lobby with us, you know.
For that last night, man, I was tired as hell.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to see my fucking Ibuki anyway.
Mm-hmm.
She beat your ass.
Nah. I think, didn't Sakura destroy Ibuki? No, Chun-Li destroyed Ibuki repeatedly. Chunners. But so yeah, what have you been playing?
Not that much, to be honest. I've been playing Guacamelee, been enjoying what I played of that. FIFA, of course. Street Fighter, arcade edition of Street Fighter Cross Tekken as well. Been playing a bit of Metal Gear Solid HD Collection on Vita.
Oh, shit.
Which I've been enjoying, because obviously we got that for free with PlayStation Plus.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all good. And not much else, really. I mean, it's like, what's beating Bioshock Infinite at the moment, you know? So. Bioshock Infinite is still like there in my head. I'm still like thinking
really?
About it. Yeah.
Get out of here. I'm waiting for them to patch this PC version so I can play it again. Some bullshit. They still haven't patched the stuttering issue.
Wow.
And I refuse to play it until they do. So, but I'm not in a rush. I've really spent more time getting the site in order than anything. So I'm kind of glad that it's. I can see the end of the tunnel once.
I mean, to be quite honest, it's like, I'm just, because I'm so busy at work at the moment, on my days off, I'm so tired.
Right.
That I don't really want to play games that are taking too much out of me.
True.
You know what I mean? Well, so I'm kind of just waiting on that game that I really, really want to play, like The Last of Us. You know, that I know
that
I'm definitely going to play through.
When is
and that comes out in June. I think it's like the day after E3 finishes.
Oh, really?
Some shit like that. Something crazy, or like the week after E3. I think June the 14th, I think it drops. So, yeah, that's just kind of where I'm at the moment.
Yeah, you know? I hear you. That's why portable games are so much better, because I could like be laid out on a couch and just fuck around on something, you know?
Yeah.
And not have to boot up something and sit in front of a screen. I could just fuck around on this little device and just throw it aside when I'm, you know?
Yeah.
10 minutes, 15 minutes later, I just throw that shit on the couch next to me and I'm like, all right, I'm done. I played 3 rounds of this or whatever. My ship got blown up. Alright, I'm done.
Definitely. And I don't know. It's like I say, I'm just like, I don't have the energy to play through a lot of these games at the moment. Not because I don't want to, it's just I don't think my mind's in the right place. I haven't got like the mental capacity to deal with these longer ass games at the moment.
Right.
I'm so tired.
Right. I know, and that's why I've been playing these little fighting games on Vita, because it's like, you know, I could just do a couple rounds, fuck around, and just like put it aside. Yeah.
I mean, I've still got to beat Ni No Kuni, and I'm like, epic. I need to find the time to play Ni No Kuni, but it's like
they need to patch that shit. They need to patch the fun into it.
Hell no, man.
They need to patch the fun in that.
The thing with Ni No Kuni is, because it's a JRPG, it's such a long-winded game.
Mm-hmm.
And
long-winded. Long-winded things are, like, long-winded. Listen to what you're saying, dude.
No, it's but that's to do with the genre. So a lot of the time you spend grinding.
Yeah, but that's... I disagree. Persona 4 Golden is not a... It's a lengthy game, but I would not call it long-winded. Because it keeps throwing interesting things at you to where you just doesn't seem long. Next thing you know, you're like, shit, I played this for 24 hours. I played this for 30 hours. I played this for 40 hours, you know? Mm-hmm. The fact that you can even say it's long-winded is a bad sign. It's a sign that it's not paced well, in my opinion.
Yeah, but not necessarily, because...
long-winded.
Because Pokemon is like that. And I've put in countless hours into the Pokemon franchise over the past, 15 years? So, you know.
You could put countless hours into shit that's not that great. I mean...
I think I'm just...
Think of your ex-girls.
But I'm just at a point right now where I'm still getting used to this job that on my days off I want to chill out, you know, and when I'm playing games I want that kind of that more sort of that quick and easy experience, like a quick game of FIFA.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then put the controller away and then chill out, watch a movie or something, you know. So I'm just not feeling the kind of long-winded kind of games at the moment, which is why it took me like almost 2 weeks to beat Bioshock Infinite.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was doing it in so many sort of sittings,
I would say
I was kind of thinking with Bioshock Infinite, shit, like when's this game gonna end? It's taking me so long to beat it.
I would recommend a game like, no, I feel you. I feel the same way. I would recommend fighting games for that, right? Quick bursts.
Mm.
Shooters, for me, I like that kind of game. So, you know, those games don't last that long. Like, you can play a level in 10 minutes or 5 minutes or, you know, yeah. No, I understand what you mean, definitely. Mm. Yeah.
Well, that's just definitely where I am right now. Just my whole mind state. You know, so I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens.
You have Unit 13?
Nah, I never picked that one up.
That one is pretty good, actually, and that's like quick burst, little missions, shooters, shooter game. It's probably gonna be free for y'all. It might be free soon. If it's not, it will. It'll be free soon, I'm sure.
I mean, I've still not even played the new God of War game yet. I've not even picked that shit up.
Oh, Ascension or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that shit to be $10.
Yeah. So, that was kind of just where I'm at. Although, you know, just a random thought come into my head before that, earlier on today, that I really want you to play through Red Dead Redemption again.
Oh yeah, Red Dead is dope.
Just because I saw it sat there on my shelf and I was thinking,
you know, I think I don't think
the
I ever
was
got,
amazing.
I don't think I got to the real ending of that game.
You did get to the real ending.
And then you just get free roam at the end? Is that what happens?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We've already discussed this, Brooke. you told me the ending you got, and that's a real ending.
Damn. I just got owned.
Oh, but shit. The ending to Red Dead Redemption, I thought was dope.
Yeah, it was.
That was a great ending. So.
Velocity Ultra comes out next month. That's going to be dope.
Oh, we get that for free.
Yeah, fuck y'all.
PlayStation Plus. Cinemora. We get Hitman Absolution, Cinemora.
But you have Cinemora, right?
No. I downloaded the demo.
Oh, really? That game is so fresh. That game has a great story, actually. That's a shoot 'em up game.
Fresh.
That's a shoot 'em up game with a crazy fucking story. Like, dude, the plot twist at the end, you're like, what? And now I'm bugging out because apparently that's not even the full ending. So I'm like, oh shit, how could they make it even more crazy than that? I beat that game and I was like, what? What just happened? Shit's crazy.
Yeah. No shit, I've still got Dishonored sat on my shelf right here, man.
Oh, you could throw that in the bin. Throw that in the dustbin.
I thought you was enjoying that game.
Nah, man, that shit is trash.
It ain't no BioShock.
Nope. It's a it's a bio fake. Alright, so I think that wraps up this podcast. So yeah, man. Check us out on iTunes. Please drop a review on iTunes. Give us a rating. It's anonymous. You could put in whatever fake ass username you want and let us know what you think. Hit us up on brooklynking.com. Check out the new design. Hit the like button at the bottom of the page. All that good stuff that we like people to kind of do to help support. If you can, that would be appreciated. And we will keep bringing these shows, talking shit for your entertainment, listening pleasure. So until next time, we are Ghost. We out. Peace.
Peace. Thank you.